if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks, or Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Indications When You're On Track Spiritually and When You're Not, and What to Do. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and relax. Just allow yourself to let go and let God. Just relax. Your intention, you see, to connect with Spirit automatically connects you. And when you take that deep breath with that intention, it happens just like that. Someone yesterday asked me, where do I go when I meditate? I go somewhere because time vanishes. I'm not aware of myself. I sat there for a whole hour and it seemed like a second. Where did I go? And I was a little taken aback because I so take it for granted that people are aware that they have subtle bodies. I didn't know what to say at first. And then I realized, oh, this person has never been initiated in the sound current. They're not really fully awake yet. And so they've had no training and have no reference point whatsoever of the subtle bodies that wrap around our consciousness expression at each level. I'm going to give you an exercise tonight that I think it really worked for me today when I did it. I think it'll work for you too, where you can create visually a sense of your light body. And so let's do it. Visualize, if you will, an oval, a very, very ginormous oval in front of you, and visualize your form. You don't have to put in any details. Just see a simple outline of your body in that oval. Now take a deep breath and reach up to the very, very highest Atma, that is your spirit, your I Am presence, your monad. And breathe that pure beam of pure white, dazzling light down. And let it illumine that oval that you see yourself standing in. And bring a column, a ray, a beam, however you want to visualize it, of that pure monadic spirit light right down to the top of your head and through your feet. And put it right into the center of the soul star in the center of the earth, which you can include in that oval, if you like. Now visualize it clearly. You're standing in that pure white oval, dazzling white, sparkling, neon white. And you have a beam of that pure white light all the way from the monad, the I Am that I Am self, down to the top of your head, all the way through your body, out through your feet, and grounded in the soul star at the center of the earth. Now, take another deep breath. And you're going to integrate the soul, the golden oval of light within the white oval. Bright, dazzling, golden light. And it surrounds your body in a golden oval within that white oval. And now from the soul, a golden beam of light goes down right through the center of your head, all the way down through your body, anchored in the soul star in the center of the earth, and filling that oval of pure white light. So you have the pure white light encircling you. You have the golden oval of light circling you. And now we're going to bring in the purple light. And we take a deep breath. And from the mystical traveler consciousness, we bring in the golden, the purple oval of light. And that's within the golden circle. And we bring that beautiful purple light all around our physical body that we're imagining in the center of these ovals. And then we see a purple beam of light going right down to the center of our head, down to our body, out to our feet, and anchoring in the soul star at the center of the earth. And now we take another deep breath. And within the purple oval, we now bring a blue oval, a blue circle within the purple circle, which represents your spiritual mind. And we visualize a blue beam of light from that spiritual mind down to the top of the head, down through your body, out through your feet, anchoring in the soul star in the center of the earth. And all of that is encompassed within that big, white, dazzling oval that we first visualized. So now you see yourself standing in the center. And first, around your body is that dazzling, pure white, atmic light that represents your immortal self, your spiritual self, your I Am presence, also called the monad. And then you see yourself encircled by that oval of golden light, which is the soul. And then you see within that golden circle, you have the purple transmutative action of that which we would call the Christ or the mystical traveler that transmutes everything that comes down then into the human personality, which the first thing that you would tap into at that level would be the higher mind or the Buddha. And so you see that blue, beautiful, dazzling, sparkling blue light surrounding the image of your body that you see in front of you. Now, own that body, if you will. That is the body that is presenting here in time, space, on this planet. But you can, when you wish, withdraw that tethering on the earth and absorb that energy back up into your oval light body and travel wherever you want to go. But while you're here functioning, this gives you a solid anchoring and a beautiful visual. Now, when you go through an initiation or an expansion of awareness, which is another form of initiation, you're going to be able to look at that image that you have just created of yourself and clairvoyantly read it. You're going to note the changes in your aura, the expansion of your ovals of light, if you will, your light body. You can also scan your physical body if you want to do a health scan. And you can send healing to the body. You can do many, many, many different things. As you image yourself in front of you, and just look. How do you look? You look in your mind. You look in your mind. And whatever shows up, because you set the intention that you want to, say, scan your body for health, and you just watch what appears in your mind. You may see, you may know, you may intuit, you may have a sense of. You know, we receive in all different ways. But some of you, like myself, are quite clairvoyant, and you can actually see very clearly with your eyes closed. In fact, I can see far more clearly with my eyes closed. So learn to see through your mind's eye and to trust what you're shown. Don't doubt, because that begins to place an unnecessary block. And use it to get to know yourself energetically and to get a sense of your continuity in your subtle bodies, so you're not so attached to thinking you're this shell down here. So Sai Baba has given an indication of when you are really centered in the peace of God. When you're really rooted in the peace of God, and I'm going to read it to you. Luster in the face, splendor in the eye, a determined look, a noble voice, large-hearted charity of feeling, and unwavering goodness. These are signposts of a developing and progressive will force, a mind without agitation, a joyous and unblemished outlook. These are the marks of a person in whom peace has taken root. And that's a quote from Sai Baba. So luster in the face is known in Sanskrit as Tejas. It comes because the inner fire of the heart and the spirit has been stoked to where you're beginning to radiate that energy through the face and the body. Some yogis, their whole bodies radiate the Tejas, the fire of spirit. It also represents Ojas, which is the quality of sattva, or the quality of goodness, inherent goodness, when you are clear spiritually. So when you're clear, when you're aligned with spirit, you don't have your issues running, you glow. You have luster in the face. And you have splendor in the eye, because the eyes are the windows of the soul. And the splendor that's looking through your eyes is you, as the Atma. You are the seer. You are the watcher. You are the listener. A determined look. That comes from steadfastness, which in Sanskrit is called sahana. You have that adamant spirit that knows and nothing can deter it from that divine focus that it holds in a determined way. You could also call it earnestness of spirit, where you're just focused in on the divine. And then you have a noble voice, which is the product of being in harmony with the goddess Saraswati, which is the indwelling deity within the throat chakra. And her gift is Satyam. She speaks truth. She speaks the Vedas. She repeats the divine names of God. She is the wisdom aspect. She is a communicator. So you will have a noble voice when you're in alignment and clear with that Saraswati aspect of divine Shakti. And then we have large-hearted charity, which probably in Sanskrit we would call karuna. It's compassion, it's mercy, and it's kripa. It's the extension of divine grace, which gives that feeling of unwavering goodness and charity and largesse of spirit. That unwavering goodness in Sanskrit is called Shivam. And the beauty that radiates within and without from a person who's aligned with Shivam, or goodness, is Sundaram, beauty. So you have Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. You have the articulation of truth. You have the embodying of unwavering goodness, which is Shivam. And the output overall is that beauty that we see within and without. And it really has nothing to do with the physical beauty. One of the most beautiful people on the planet, was on the planet, now in subtle form, was Mother Teresa. And when Sai Baba was asked about Mother Teresa, he said she was his greatest devotee. And yet she was a devotee of Jesus, right? So it makes no difference, because there is one divine spirit, regardless of the form that we have associated with the divine. It's still the same divine. So she certainly wasn't physically attractive, and yet you would have to say she was completely beautiful within and without. Everything about her was Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. And so the clear signs of a person, one who is divinely yoked, a yogi, divinely joined, is joy and peace, according to Sai Baba. And how rare we find joy and peace in this world. It's quite rare. So the reason it is so rare is because almost everyone, without exception, has identified themselves with their physical body, with their thoughts, with their emotions. And yet all these things change from moment to moment, so obviously they can't be who we are, what we are. How could they possibly be? That which is of God, the divine states, say for example of bliss, are not momentary and fleeting, they are eternal. When you have moved into Satchitananda, that state of existence, ever-expanding awareness and bliss, it doesn't depart, it stays steady. Now, before you get stabilized, let's say, in that state, it will come and go. You'll have a taste of it, and then it'll go. But ultimately, you train yourself to hold steady at that level, which I spoke of last week and many, many seminars, of staying focused in the center of your head, back behind your forehead, in the center. That's the seat of the soul. And then the seat of the Atma, or spirit, is actually up in the top of the head, in the thousand-petaled lotus. And that thousand-petaled lotus at the top of your head has corresponding petals that represent the divine unfoldment as you purify the chakras, as you begin to stabilize your consciousness in higher and higher states. The petals of the lotus unfold, And when they're unfolded, you can maintain that state. So it has to do with the blossoming and the unfolding of these petals, which take place absolutely naturally as you keep your spiritual practice going, as you practice the light and sound of God, as you meditate, as you chant your initiatory tone or your mantra or the name of the Lord that is dear to you, as you keep your eyes single, as you keep focused into that brow, into the center of your head, you begin to stabilize in soul awareness. And when you get really good at that, to where you don't get pulled out by the mind or pulled out by the emotions, then, as Jesus said, your eye becomes single and your whole body is filled with light. And you live a life at a different level from most people. Completely different level. So a superficial life leads to, at some point, a crisis. You're going to go through something that's a big wake-up call. Because material life is designed to be aversion therapy. You're not supposed to settle down here. Sai Baba likens our life to a three-day caravan. You know, you keep moving in the caravan. You don't stop. And so, also he likens it to a three-day fair. You know, you go and you see what's there, but you don't build your house in the fairgrounds and stay in the carnival atmosphere. You keep moving. So whether you call it a caravan or a carnival, life down here, it really is a carnival, carnival, it really is transitory, passing, superficial, and of no great consequence except what we have accorded to it. There's nothing going on here. That seems so bizarre to people. They really, really think something's going on here. Nothing's going on here, okay? This is all Looney Tunes. This is all projection of mindsets and thought forms world views that people have concretized by repetitive projecting until many of us agree that there's a world out there. It seems real because we've all come into that collective hallucination and agreed that it's so. So together, as we wake up, we're beginning to dissolve it. We're beginning to dissolve the illusion. And more people are doing that now. So material life is designed to be unpleasant. It is imperfect. Nothing is perfect here. Everything changes. Everything corrupts. Everything dies. But you, every form appears, declines, and disappears. But you are that immortal self, birthless, deathless, no beginning, no end, forever, the divine spirit, its very self. That's who and what you are. So, every time we try to associate ourselves with a body, with a feeling, with an emotion, with a relationship, with a job, with a career, with a label, with a definition of any kind, at some point we're going to feel great discontent. And that will lead to the search for more. There's got to be more. No matter how much money you have, if you have the spirit of greed, you want more. No matter how much power you have, if you have vanity and vaingloriousness and ego, you want more power. And so the ego is never satisfied. The false self is never going to be fulfilled, and it can't fulfill you. So it was very interesting because Sai Baba said one time that to some of his students that he had purposefully given them a terrible childhood where they had been abandoned or, you know, left in some state purposefully so they would not have attachment to parents and relatives and family, which is a big deal in India. You're literally a prisoner of your family and your in-laws in most Asian cultures. And here, in the United States, we have such broken families, such, well, it's hard to find a child that's had a happy childhood, that's had an intact family. Most of us are products of divorce, and we grew up hearing our parents shouting and fighting and cursing and or drinking or whatever. And so to begin to reframe that as something positive and beneficial that is on purpose in your life is a big way to look at it in a totally different context. Like, whoa! Because we're programmed in this society, and particularly in Asian societies, but also, you know, Latin societies and societies throughout the world, we're kind of programmed that we have to, how would you say it? We have to kowtow to the wishes of our family at the expense of everything else, even our own soul if necessary. And I think we need to reframe that and realize that every single human being, be they a parent or a child or whatever, is a soul here to learn one thing, that they are the immortal supreme spirit, having an experience of manyness. The one spirit having an experience of being the many. And we're all at the time and cycle, well, maybe not all of us, but certainly those of you listening to these seminars each week, are those advanced souls that are ready to wake up, that are ready to join the ranks of the immortals, that are ready to make this your last obligatory incarnation on planet Earth, that are ready to end suffering, end pain. Can you imagine what it would be like to live a life in which you're in absolute bliss and peace and equanimity all the time? Huh? All the time. No bumps and jumps, no ups and downs, no moods. Well, of course, the miracle says that that's exactly what we're here to learn and nothing else. That is the only use that time, the illusion of time, has, is to teach us just that, to be still and quiet and at peace, full of bliss and love all the time. Whether you're in the body, out of the body, in your subtle body, wherever, whatever, that's the drill. So, likewise, a series of unhappy romantic relationships can lead one to no longer seek for love through a relationship with another, or through sex, and to start finding that love and that fulfillment within. In fact, one of the great Rishis was asked about sex, and he said it's an acquired habit. It came in with the animal body. The body that you're wearing evolved from the animal kingdom. It's of the third kingdom, which is the animal kingdom. So it has animal desires. Desires to mate and defend and do all these things. Is sex wrong? Well, it's a poor substitute from my direct experience with union with God. I mean, it is so unphenomenal compared to experiencing union with God in the crown chakra. So that said, is sex bad? Is it wrong? Is it? No, it's not. You stay with something until you outgrow it. You enjoy it until it loses its enchantment. I think it's a big mistake to enforce celibacy or any other thing on a person. You can see what it's done to the clergy. It's unnatural. It causes you to go crazy after a while. Do you know why they invented tablecloths? I heard because the legs of the table turned the monks on. So they had to cover them with tablecloths. This is some form of craziness. But I think if you live with a lot of guys and you have to suppress a natural animal urge that's part of the body, pretty soon you're going to be looking at anything with legs with lust. So allow yourself to be and allow yourself to express however you want to until you outgrow it. And that applies to everything. I have found, well, I've done both. You know, I've been in groups where they enforced very, very strict celibacy, which I was not very successful in maintaining for very long. And other forms of restriction. And when I left that group, I went hog wild. I ate meat. I drank stuff. I had sex. I went nuts because I had been put under somebody else's arbitrary rules and laws that didn't fit my natural state at the time. So make sure that what you impose upon yourself is in agreement with what is right and proper for you. What is right and proper for you? There is an inner teacher, an inner guide that knows you better than you know yourself and will unerringly guide you in the path that is best for you. But don't think you have to pretzel yourself to fit some sort of a crazy spiritual image that that's the way you got to be. To be, quote, spiritual. There's no way you cannot be spiritual. You are spiritual. You are simply having the illusion, the hallucination of being a human. In a Maya Virupa, an imaginary thought form that you've associated with as being who you are. So, in the same vein, a series of financial and other failures will eventually cause one to realize how fleeting and fickle worldly success is, and to cause one to seek security and fulfillment within, where indeed it will last forever. The greatest wealth, Sai Baba said, that one can have is a peaceful mind. There's nothing more valuable than a peaceful mind. So why isn't the mind peaceful? Because the mind is a bundle. It's made of the warp and weft of desire and fears, and it's constantly agitated before it is illumined by the light of the Bodhi. That blue circle that we anchored is your Bodhi. That's your higher mind, your Christ mind, the mind that was in Christ Jesus, whatever you want to call it, creative intelligence. So that lower manasic mind is the part, or the ego mind, is what is agitated all the time by fears and desires. And by desire, it becomes restless and discontented and anxious and always desiring things to be different from the way that they are. And it darts about seeking. It's always hungry. It's restless, never content. It's looking for solutions and ways to control and manipulate and change things. It can never just let things be. But when it's illumined, as you keep bringing that light of the monad, the I Am presence or spirit into your mind, you keep bringing that awareness of the soul in and connecting it inside the center of your head, you begin to dissolve the manasic mind. You begin to dissolve all of the patterns and habits and ingrained tendencies that you've acquired through many, many immersions in the illusion of time, space, and causation. You begin to dissolve them. You don't have to do anything but just bring the light in. It dissolves that agitation and quiets it. And then your mind becomes a wonderful tool. Then it becomes a clear eye through which the soul can peer into the material world and govern your life. And so that's why we meditate. That's why we keep going within. That's why we tell you to drop like a rock beneath the surface agitation of the ocean of consciousness. Drop like a rock deep down into yourself. Find yourself as the energy within the shell of your body. Find the solidity of your presence as consciousness, as a field of awareness, as a presence. You're a palpable presence beyond your body. You're recognized in spirit. You show up. You have the Nuri Swarupa. You have that the Jyoti Swarup. You have the light body. You're splendid. You're beautiful. So quit fixating about the image and the mirror and begin to look at yourself through your inner eye. So basically, this thing that's called life is God. Life is God, and it's immortal. It's omnipresent. It's all-powerful. It's all-knowing. It's who you are always. You are life itself. You are life itself. Begin to identify that. People get all torqued out with trying to figure out what God is or who God is or if God exists and what God looks like. Forget it. Just call it life and be done with it. End of problem. We all experience ourselves being alive. So stay there. I'm life. And my life doesn't begin with the body. It doesn't end with the death of the body. I am immortal life right now. And so everything in life is designed to awaken you to that immortal divine self and to set you free from all suffering and pain and release you into the bliss of ongoing life. That just gives me such ecstasy when I expand and begin to find myself in all life forms and all hearts and all places and things. Oh, what ecstasy. So know that your life is like your car. Your spiritual life requires maintenance and upkeep and attention. Attention to your spiritual life is love. That's how you love yourself. You give attention to your spiritual life. And you've got to keep the petrol in your gas tank. How do you keep refueled and fueled? How do you keep the power and the energy in your body? You have to keep putting in the petrol in the form of your spiritual exercises, your meditation, your chanting, your God time, your prayer. That's how you keep putting energy into yourself. Otherwise, you're going to burn out. You're going to exhaust yourself because your human biosphere doesn't have a lot of energy. It's limited. Human body has limited energy. But real energy is spirit, and you have to tap into that, and you keep building that and building it till pretty soon you're a real powerhouse. Not you of yourself, but you're filled with that God energy until, well, that's your real power. So be aware that everything in life requires attention and love. That's the only thing anyone or anything wants from you is your attention and your love. So areas where you have pain or areas where you haven't given your attention or you haven't given your love, you have not taken care of yourself. You have tried to negate and disown the body. That's not how you ascend. That's not how you transcend attachment by ignoring and refusing the attention and the love that everything in life deserves. Everything deserves love and attention. Everything. Because God is in every molecule of existence. There is nothing that is not God. Nothing. And so you learn to love yourself. You love everything. Everything you look at through the eyes of love. And when you do that, you will see God because you will have attained a pure heart. And it is the pure heart that can see God in and as all things. So, when the mind is influenced by the quality of sluggishness, or tamas as it's called in Sanskrit, it becomes lazy, apathetic, inert, dull, and unable to comprehend the things of spirit. Some people are so thick-headed you could talk to them from now until hell freezes over, and they're not going to understand a word you have to say. They don't have the development of consciousness required to comprehend the spiritual things. They're the ones that are really happy with the boob tube and the cigarette and the sports thing, and you know, they're not interested in what we're talking about. They're like, what do you call it, Jabba the Hutt, like a slug sitting there watching the boob tube. But nobody's home, nobody's intelligent, nobody is seeking, nobody's hungry. So people like that, you just got to let them be, because they're going to take quite a few more incarnations before they're ripe to begin to search spiritually. So don't obsess over people in your life that are in that category. They've got to become human first. They've got a lot of work to become a human being, which, by the way, is the fourth kingdom of nature. But you and I are denizens of the fifth kingdom of nature, the kingdom of souls. So we're moving beyond the human level. We have moved, hopefully, beyond the animal level. We're moving beyond the human level, and we're moving into the fifth kingdom of soul, conscious soul awareness. That's where we're focusing our attention. Now, the mind, when it is influenced by the quality of goodness, or sattva, where it has balance and equanimity and positive, bright energy, it becomes clear and focused. That's when your mind face starts to glow and shine, when you have that positive light coming through your mind. And you have a sense of clarity, and you're focused, and you have enthusiasm, and you're open. And it becomes open to inspired thoughts. This is where all the great creative things come from. When the mind is open to the quality of creative intelligence, and it's positive and bright, and you glow. So, again, where does the energy come from when it is positive? It comes from the buddhi, B-U-D-D-H-I, buddhi. It's the higher creative intellect or intelligence that is receiving the direct inspiration and impartation from the soul. So again, it's the light of the soul coming down through the buddhic vehicle of consciousness or higher mind. So in its natural state, the mind is quiet, very receptive to spiritual impression. And that will often appear as that's what's called the still voice of the silence, or the voice of the inner self, or conscience. So conscience is truly the voice of God within you, the conscience. Is it possible that some people don't have a conscience? You know, like the criminals that say that have no remorse and they have absolutely no sense of having done whatever it was they did? Yes, a person can be completely disconnected from the soul, from the higher awareness. And I would say the person, meaning the personality, ego, bodily thought form, mind, and emotions, because you, remember, are always the soul. But it's possible for the ego personality to have developed so much negativity that it's literally impervious to the impression of the soul, which we would call the conscience. Conscience and soul are the same thing, really, really speaking. So, yeah. And what happens in that case? Well, usually they're possessed by lower entities that take the body over. And those lower entities can be quite evil. They can be demonic, that is to say, subhuman. And very, very evil. So anyone that does, that enjoys inflicting pain and suffering on anyone, or killing and doing all the horrible things, they are not connected at all with the soul. They are an ego indwelt usually by a lower astral entity, and in many cases demonic. So that's what causes people to do evil deeds and to have no remorse. You know, they're just blank. Nobody's really home. What happens to the soul in that case? Nothing. The soul is on the soul plane, you know, hoping that that vehicle down there in the personal presentation will one day be receptive to the contact, to the impression. And, you know, it takes time for the soul to get the attention of the human personality in the lower realms. And we've all done that. We've all had that challenge of trying to get our personality or human self's attention. So there is no blocking to the flow from one's higher divine nature when one is in that wonderful sattvic state that we would call positive, bright energy, enthusiastic, positive, open, loving. You know, that kind of a mind is the greatest blessing you could have, and it's really the result of good karma. I mean, you've worked to attain that in some past life, or you wouldn't have that godly mind and that godly tendency in this life. So one simply listens and follows through on the impressions as given when you listen to that inner self, that inner voice, or the conscience. And it simply appears as an inner awareness and knowingness. And the purpose of meditation and the effect of meditation is just to have that conscious integration with that part of the mind. It's, you know, it's really, really, really simple. We make such a big deal out of it. But it's because we're trying very hard, many of us, to make the unreal real and the untruth truth and the death real, rather than the immortality. We're trying in every way to validate the illusion, the fiction, the false persona, the false values of the world. No wonder we're so messed up. How futile and frustrating to try to unmake and mess up what God has created perfect and immortal and eternal. Interesting. So some of the signs that you have gone into your negative ego and have gotten off track, I would say the first sign that you're not spiritually aligned and clear is that your attitude takes a nosedive. When you're spiritually aligned, you have an attitude of unconditional loving goodwill and well-being and service. You step forward with a loving attitude of wanting to be of service. But when you're not clear and you step out of that alignment, that desire to be of service turns into resentment. Turns into resentment. You begin to resent what you're doing. You lose the gratitude. You lose the loving. You get bummed out. You get burned out. You get fried. It's like, enough already, I can't stand it. You know, many of us have been, that are intercessors, myself included, have felt burned out, you know, with all the calamities. And there's days when I don't stop chanting all day long. I chant and pray and chant and pray and send the light to various things going on the planet and the people. And at some point, you know, you just, like, get really tired. And so I stopped doing that. I took a time off, and I realized, you know what? God is in the heavens, and all is well. And everybody's an incarnation of God, and nobody's getting killed, and nobody's drowning, and nobody's really, 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 in highest truth, suffering. You know, they're just fine. And I began to detach, and, you know, started to recharge my batteries, because I was feeling pretty stressed. And so sometimes we do that even as light workers. We get really stressed out because we're worried about the world, and we're worried what's happening in North Korea and what the president's doing or might do or what's happening, and, you know, on and on and on and on. And we can just put ourselves in hell for no reason whatsoever, because it's all a big play anyway, and who cares? It's all a big play. All a big play. So watch, when you lose your humor, you lose your sense of inner joy and peace, and your positive attitude begins to depart, pay attention, because you need to take a time out and refocus, reboot, recharge, and, you know, kick back and just be for a while with yourself. Let God handle the world. It's His problem. What Baba told me. He said, let me handle the world. It's my problem. You keep your focus on me. That's what he told me one day. So keep holding on to your loving. Watch it when irritation is another sign. You'll start to go into resentment and irritation, and your mood will just really start to get negative. And of course, then as a light worker, you feel guilty, right? So all you need to do is go into the bathroom if you're at work, or take a break, call in the light. Father, Mother, God, I ask for the clearance. I ask to the Christ that anything that's not for my highest good be cleared now through grace. Anything I may have picked up that people in my work environment may have released, or the person I just talked to on the phone may have dumped into my ear, or the people with whom I am associating with, I may be empathing their feelings or their sorrow or their pain or their frustration. Whatever it is, it's not mine, and I'm releasing it to you, Lord. And just see it go right into Sai Baba or to Jesus or to the mystical traveler consciousness, and just see it dissolve. And take a deep breath. Violet flame yourself from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. Just send that violet flame all the way through your body and your aura. Let all that stuff out. Let it dissolve, 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 dissolve. Transmute. And then take another deep breath and fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Fill me, Spirit of the Living God. Fill me, Divine Spirit. And give me the bliss and the love and the joy that is my natural self. And that's it. Get up and feel great. Go on about your day. And sometimes you have to do that several times if you're working in a very, very, well, I think probably any place where you're working with people today, it is absolutely boiling with foment and discontent and frustration and fear and unhappiness and all the drama. So you're going to have to be diligent at paying attention when you're not feeling like yourself. And some of us were so used to being in the bliss of God that to feel anything less than just a sense of loving well-being feels horrible. It's intolerable. And so you really learn to pay attention that irritation, frustration, impatience, anger, blaming, complaining, arguing, distancing, withholding, all of that stuff is absolutely unnatural and unnecessary. And hatred, I mean, so many of us can't even conceptualize hatred. But think of how many people out there are living in states of hatred. So find out if you can stay conscious enough to do so, to ask yourself when you go into a really negative state and you know it's yourself and you're not picking up from someone else, ask yourself, what are you afraid of? Because fear is the very root of every form of negativity, attack, and violence. there, false evidence appearing real. So don't allow yourself to go into negativity. Just end cycle on having any kind of tolerance for that, zero tolerance for allowing yourself to nurture negativity in thought, word, and, of course, expression. But everything begins with a thought. The thoughts influence the words that come out of your mouth. The words that come out of your mouth and the thoughts influence the behavior. So nip it right at the very beginning when you feel that joy and that peace begin to lessen. Go over yourself and see. Very often you'll find as a light worker you've picked it up from the collective, from television, from that person that sat next to you in the bus, whatever. Pay attention. It's not yours. But it may have come to you because you are a light bearer. And it wants to go home to God. That energy wants to go home to love. It wants to go home to love. And it knows that you will release it to love. So very often you become a magnet for those kind of thought forms that come to you wanting to go home. So send them home. Send them home to love. Send them home to Christ, to Jesus, to Sai Baba, to Krishna, to the mystical traveler, whatever you want to call that one divine spirit. So view every negative state as unnatural to the divine incarnation that you are. And be very vigilant. But also be very kind and compassionate with yourself. Take care of yourself and respect your right to have peace, happiness, and well-being, and to be honored for your right to be who and what you are, however you are. And don't put yourself in situations and under commitments to people, places, and things that don't support and honor you in that. Pay attention. And make for yourself a spiritual first aid kit, if you will. Begin to notice how you can get yourself out of negative states when they arise. And apply the remedy. For example, when you are depressed, get up and move your body. Your consciousness moves every time you move your body. Go take a walk if you're angry. When you start to walk or exercise or do yoga, you will dissipate that energy. And while you're walking, chant. Call in the light. Clear yourself. Flick your arms and your hands and your feet and shake off the energy. Jiggle. You know, make loose knees, you know, where they're not stiff, and jiggle. Jiggle, 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 jiggle. And flick off negative energy as you walk, as you go outside, as you breathe deeply. And don't hang out in that. Light a candle, light some incense, get some positive music on, and shift your energy, shift your focus. Some things you're just going to have to wait out because they take time to process through your system. Heartbreak, great loss, devastation, bereavement. These things have a timing and a cycle, and you need to honor that and not criticize yourself for being, quote, negative. You have to remember that every single soul on the planet, Buddha, Jesus Christ, Krishna, Sai Baba, say whatever name of whatever great being you can think of, they all went through everything that you and I are going through now. All of them. All of them had days when they wanted to give up, when they hated themselves and everybody, when they wanted only to get off the planet and out of this world. They all did. They all had broken hearts. They've all been abused. They've all been killed. They have all been killers. They have all been very evil. They've all been very virtuous. They've had every experience, every state of consciousness, and within it all, they discovered the immortal self that forever is the living presence of God, the light and the sound and the love of God. And they've learned to dwell in the self, which is absolutely immovably established in the peace and the bliss and the presence of eternal being. So, they did it, we're doing it, and it's assured success. Sai Baba said there's not any avenue or quarter for failure in any one of our lives. There's no possibility we're going to miss it. Because that's what he said. He has come to assure the fostering of the quality of goodness in every sentient life form, not just human, all life forms. So, let's accept that gift, shall we? And that assurance? And just dwell with yourself compassionately and lovingly. And don't allow yourself to associate yourself with any kind of negative critiquing or judging. Just end cycle on complaining, judging, critiquing, finding fault, and talking negatively about yourself or anybody. Don't talk negative about the president. Nobody. Everybody is an incarnation of God, no matter what disguise they have on or how separated they may be from that in their conscious awareness. So I hope this has been helpful for you. You know, watch your attitude. Keep flying high. Keep refueling and recharging yourself. You absolutely must take time to be with yourself. You have to. It's survival. You must work into your schedule as a priority. Time with yourself or with God. Meditation and yoga are two of the great go-tos that many of us have worked into our lives, that we could go without eating before we would skip a day of meditation or our exercise. You just got to do it. And that's how you take care of yourself. So I'm running a little over time, so I'll have to bring it to a close. And let's go out chanting on IHU with the intention that we are sending love and light to the entire planet and to every single being and life form upon the planet, that they may all be blessed and filled with love and light and well-being. Deep breath. And I, you, and I, you, and I, you. Blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.